हरि ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 85, chapter 81. Sudama continued, "The Lord considers even his greatest benedictions to be insignificant, while he magnifies even a small service rendered to him by his well-wishing devotee. Thus, with pleasure, the Supreme Soul accepted a single palmful of the flat rice I brought him. The Lord is the supremely compassionate reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Life after life may I serve him, Dasyam, with love, Saurida, friendship, Shakya, and sympathy, Maitri. And may I cultivate such firm attachment for him by the precious association of his devotees." Footnote 38. As explained by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Sauridam here signifies affection toward him who is so compassionate to his devotees. Sakyam is affinity manifest in the desire to live in his company. Maitri is the attitude of intimate comradeship. And Dasyam is the urge to do service. Right? So all these different aspects are there. Right? The different moods. That's the thing, is that different times different ones are brought out. So here he's mentioning them all. Right? So they one affection for Krishna grows seeing his compassion and affection for other devotees. That's why when we see these pastimes of the Lord interacting with the devotees and then how nice it is, then it just increases the affection of the devotees for Krishna. Right? You see, that's the very different from here where someone's doing nice and then we get jealous or envious. Right there, it just increases your love for Krishna because he's so kind to his devotees. Right? Like that. Then Sakyam, live in the company, means to be around, to be with somebody, to have that association. Right? And then Maitri, the attitude of intimate comrade. So that means the mood that matches that. In other words, I appreciate how he deals with others. One likes, one's comfortable being in that company. One has the attitude of appreciating, you know, the finity of that relationship. And then Dasyam to do service within that context. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Can we say that this is four types of friendship? Mitra,
Sakya. Yeah, because Sakya and Mitra are synonyms, you know? So it actually means friendship only.
But then how would you bring in, Dasyam? I probably had some connection there. But here it's not that, it may be that those four different kinds and they have, you know, an emphasis on these. But it's not that all these can't be there and because it's all friendship.
Just different aspects of friendship.
Yeah, possibly. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, "Since he responds in this way, may he be my friend life after life. Because of this, his relationship with me, he chewed that tasteless rice as if it were delicious. May I be his friend and servant, Saurida Dasyam. May he be my companion, Shaka, and intimate, Maitri. May I have prema for him and service to him. And may he assist me as a friend, giving me benefit. May he do this even if I take birth repeatedly, punaha. Or puna can mean but. I may take birth anywhere, but may I be his friend. Sarida can also mean helpful concerning bodily activities. Sakya can mean faith. Maitri can mean affection. So they have all these different aspects. Yeah. So in other words, yeah, the friendship, that affinity to be with because you have faith. Maitri is affection, you know, so that gives the closeness. Dasya can mean humility. So you see that, yeah, junior aspect. Or Sarida can mean unconditional, mutual rendering of benefit. Shakya can mean love with playing as companions. Maitri can mean affection, and Dasya can mean doing service. Kuna can be taken as an ornament, no meaning. The phrase Tasya Eva, with him only, excludes Sudama's friendship with his devotees. That is not so. Okay, so someone may complain. The phrase Tasya Eva, with him only, excludes Sudama's friendship with his devotees. That is not so. Attaining contact with friendship, companionship, etc., by his great powers, Maha Nubhavena, and his reservoir of qualities like form, youthfulness, compassion, affection, I will have association in prema, prasanga, with his devotees and friends. This is because of his power and his qualities. Right? So it means the Lord and the devotees. Otherwise, why is there that aspect of this Sauridam where you appreciate the... how do you say? You appreciate the relationship between the Lord and the devotee and the niceness of what's going on there. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So if here that exclusively meaning him, meaning that it's on him and there's no material distraction. It's just about serving Krishna. Mm-hmm.
So the range of this even within friendship.
Yeah, it has so many aspects, yeah.
With Krishna, it is having so much big range, but in terms of other Vishnu tattvas...
It depends. You'd have to see is what's there. But the point is that these are relationships that are there. These are moods of relationships. Okay. Now, whether something is manifest nicely or not, or this or that, that's another thing. Okay. It's just the situational. Just because you may have a good friend, and you're sitting and laughing and joking and all this and that, and then the teacher walks into the room, now what happens? Where's your laughing and joking? You know, where's that closeness? Where's all this? So, you understand? So it's just according to the situation. Okay. Yeah, so may I cultivate such firm attachment for him by the precious association of his devotees. So he's taking it that he'll be in that association. With that, then he'll develop this nice love for Krishna. So it's never not including the devotees. To a devotee who lacks spiritual insight, the Supreme Lord will not grant the wonderful opulences of this world kingly power and material assets. Indeed, in his infinite wisdom, the unborn Lord knows well how the intoxication of pride can cause the downfall of the wealthy. Right? So, because he doesn't have that, he's just absorbed in Krishna, therefore then it's there. He himself personally is not interested in it, but his wife wanted a bit, you know? So therefore then the Lord reciprocates. But he reciprocates in such a great way. So even though what he's given here, the Lord will consider that insignificant. Right? But he'll consider the service done by the devotee as very great. And so for Sudama, it's not a problem because now his wife will be comfortable and their family life will go on. So for him, whether he has facility or not, it won't change his relationship with Krishna. Mm-hmm. 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 Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments, so you have devotion and the result of that devotion is gaining wealth. No, I do not have bhakti, and the result of bhakti is not wealth. Right? So his point is that I went to Krishna, I got wealth, so, you know, that means, and you get wealth not by bhakti, you get wealth by material endeavors, so therefore I'm a materialist. That's the way he's presenting it. Right? This is expressed in this verse. Though we know that wealth comes along with, because it's the Lord's opulence, so if you have the Lord's opulence, then you have it. If you please his internal potency, then naturally the opulence that comes with that is there. But only if you can maintain it. If you become proud, then that's not devotional, so you can't have it. So therefore, having great opulence can only come if there's no pride in the opulence. You can just engage it. But if you're proud of it, then Krishna, it says, in his wisdom, in his infinite wisdom, then doesn't give. You know, or may give it and then take it away. You know, so you get that moment and then you get inspired and then you lose, so then now you surrender to Krishna and things like that, you know. So, yeah. He has his methods.
All devotees should understand this point.
Yes, yes, it's always good. Otherwise, it's like, I'm doing so much service, why am I not getting any wealth? Because that's not the result of devotional service. Right. Yeah, because if you're taking, I'm doing the activity, where's the wealth? Then where's the volume of activity? You know, you want to go to heavenly planets, you want that kind of facility. We're talking Ashwamedha Yajnas here. Are you doing Ashwamedha Yajnas here? No. You know, you'll be lucky if you wash your feet after going in the bathroom, let alone an Ashwamedha Yajnas. So by karma, then how much wealth should you get? If we're looking at that, I did this, where's my result? So then how much have you actually done? You know, but if we're looking at bhakti, then we get the result of bhakti. And then bhakti may come. So if our devotion is not very great, then also then the other facilities that come along with it will also not be so much. So in other words, if we have a complaint, go make that complaint to the man in the mirror. Okay? That's the one to talk to. Okay? Does that make sense? Yeah, that's the... That is not expressed in this verse. He does not give wealth, sampada, power, rajam, or wife and family, vibhuti. There is no danger for them if the Lord gives wealth to such intelligent devotees as Prahlad. However, I am not intelligent since I have no devotion, so the Lord does not give me. This means that Sudama, having got that wealth, then thought, what is the use of it? Enjoying what was there was necessary to maintain himself. He became fixed in his vows and sleeping on the earth, he became completely absorbed in hearing, chanting, and other types of service. The Lord does not increase wealth to make the devotee happy. However, some say that he will give a slight amount in order to help the service the devotee is performing in prema. You know, like he'll give some for that. But the point is, he doesn't give it for the enjoyment of the devotee, because getting enjoying, then you'll forget him. Because the enjoyment is the interaction with Krishna, not the facility. Right, so it's just like Mother Jashoda. it's the interaction with Krishna, not the cooking, not the facility to cook, not the house that she can then cook in. But right? It's not those things. It's the cooking for Krishna. Yes.
Sometimes devotees, they maintain austere life, but psychologically they need that wealth on this. They don't use it basically, but just to keep them peaceful, they have it. Just, you know, it's like a safe.
It works, okay.
So it's a good.
You can do, but you should also see that they're charitable. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, then they're miserly. No. See, because you can say, as nobody has the wealth, but he doesn't use it, he's renounced, but that's the definition of a miser. Because he's attached to having it, but not spending it.
It's a psychological
effect. Yes, so just there'll be that sense of security that if I did need it, that it's there.
Right.
You know, like that. You know, so you know, that's all right if the money comes without extra endeavor, but if he's now, you know, working so hard and not involved in Krishna consciousness, just making money and not spending it, then what's the point? Better he's more Krishna conscious, because he's not going to use the money anyway. Right. Is that, yeah. So, that he has, just make sure that it's not also making his heart hard and he's not becoming miserly. So giving in charity, doing things like that. And then making money to maintain according to, you know, what doesn't affect his devotional development. Right? And so then, like that, then you can see. I mean, it's not standard. Rupa Goswami mentions 25%. So if he's keeping more than that, but if you always put 25% aside, you'll see it becomes a huge amount in a short amount of time. You know. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Also, people have so much insecurity nowadays.
So much insecurity.
even whatever you say, like we have seen like Prabhupada's life also, his father's life also, with all that I believe in so much charity. Prabhupada is engaging in the
Brahmins
for preaching work. But nowadays like people are put insurance on insurance.
That's there as long as you have the money, but we're talking about you can have money, have facilities, that's not the problem. Just make sure that you're also you're engaging in the Krishna service and you're charitable. Because the idea is that sacrifice, austerity, and charity, then they're always done, even by the great sages.
Yes.
So whatever little bit is there, then it's that it works. So it's not that you have to have a lot, it's just a matter of whatever you have, you share. You know, like I mentioned, I would see these, you know, big family groups, like 20, devotees or that, you know, like that come to the temple. And then they're, I don't know if they still do it, but sometimes after the 4 o'clock offering in the afternoon, they would distribute the fruit and the sandesh. They still do that?
Yeah, you mean after 6 hours.
Okay, but they used to do that in the afternoon before, you know, whatever it is. Sometimes also after the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you know, what I'm talking about, this example would have been packed in probably the 80s. But I remember is that one of the, you know, he would have been, you know, like college age, the boy, you know, with the family and all that. And he got a sandesh. So he immediately turned around and the whole family, they all grabbed around and there's one sandesh. And it's not that big. You know, one sandesh and he's bringing it out and everybody's getting. You know, and at the end, whatever is left, and he takes, and they're all happy. They all got prasad. So that's sharing. He's a one sandesh, but 20 people eat it.
Yes.
You know, because it's taking prasad. It's not, you know, if that was their meal, says, you know, yeah, we're going to Mayapur. What we do for eating? Don't worry, we'll get a sandesh. You know, like, oh yeah, that's fine, that's great. Yeah. Plus the air is very good. You know, suddenly, yeah. So.
They do it in South also, then they give Tirupati Laddu.
Then you give it out.
Yeah.
But you also see is Govindaji. That was the interesting thing that there is that when you buy, people buy Laddus to distribute.
Yes.
If they want to take home, they buy two bags.
Yes.
You know, they buy two bags, one they put away, and the other bag, and they take it out and they just stand there because everybody does parikram. And they just distribute like this.
Yes.
Like that, and I had seen that, but I didn't understand exactly, you know, how everybody did that. So one day I went and I bought some things. And as soon as I bought, immediately people came up and I had to distribute and I say, what's going on here? You know. But yeah, that's how they do it. So they buy and distribute, and having distributed, then they'll take them. So that's the whole thing, that aspect of sharing, that's important. So they can make money, they can worry about, they have, you know, emergency money, they have their insurance, they have their, you know, whatever it is. What's that called? Where you put money away for the future? The
savings,
but there's a colloquial name for it. The pension, no, but something that's like secure and nice, you know, is that?
Trust?
No, these are all formal names. This is that, you know, so just like, let's say in the corporate world, then you get your golden parachute. So this is like what the common people use because they don't get golden parachutes.
Governing funds and things like that.
No, these are all technical names. It's something like, what is it called?
Pension.
No, it's something that you take and you put away, you know. You know, like the squirrels take and they hide it away and stuff like that. And nest egg. You know, that's it. You know, like that. You heard of that one?
No.
No?
I can know more,
Mark. Okay. Now you hear me. You know, like that. Like that. Yeah, so then... Where were we? Charity, yes. I'm thinking about nest eggs. Why would they say nest eggs? You know, those with more vata constitution, they can relate to that because birds are more vata. Okay. So that's what that has to be there. So it's not a problem that they have that and have facility, just that they should be also doing something nice. So, you know what I mean? So you're always giving a charity. So the more money you make, the more charity you're giving. It's all in proportion. Does that make sense? So it's just like you see some of these, I don't know if all of them, but you hear about, who is it, Gates? Bill Gates? You know, he's billionaire, but he's always giving billions away. You know, not just, you know, 1 billion. He gives, you know, a lot of billions. Like that. And he's always up there. He's always got that money while other billionaires are coming and going. But he, because he gives, he always is giving. So that's the point, is that you have billions, you give billions, and it'll always be maintained. So you maintain your money by giving in charity. Mm-hmm. It means you perform your duties, but the point is it's maintained through that charity. So sacrifice, austerity, and charity, that's what maintains it. So you think miserliness doesn't maintain anybody. Because when do you define, if you're a miser, when do you define when you use the money? No, but even when you're old, is because then what if, you know, you have, you need to, you know, you have to go to a home or an operation or that, then you want to keep the money. So in other words, you'll die and not use the money. Because you always think that, okay, this is there's something more. So that's the whole point. So unless you spend, it's as good as not having the money. You're not using money, it's as good as not having it.
This thing, 99 club. 99 club. They have 99 crores of rupees. Or he's having, but he is not spending 99. His whole life he is entering for gaining or earning one more crore to make it 100 crore.
Oh, okay. Okay, so he never quite gets it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so then he didn't get it to just enjoy, you know, interacting with his wife or guests or anything like that. But him personally, then you see he's just sleeping on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, so he just lives the same lifestyle, just that he has a, you know, nicer thing to sleep on the ground. And, you know, instead of rags, he's got a nice cloth. But, you know, that's his wife's service. But he himself doesn't require it. Sugadeva Goswami continued. Oh, no, wait a minute.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Thus firmly fixing his determination by means of his spiritual intelligence, Sudama remained absolutely devoted to Lord Krishna, the shelter of all living beings. Free from avarice, he enjoyed, together with his wife, the sense pleasures that had been bestowed upon him, always with the idea of eventually renouncing all sense gratification. Lord Hari is the god of all gods, the master of all sacrifices, and the supreme ruler. But he accepts the saintly brahmanas as his masters, so there exists no deity higher than them. So there's always that aspect of renunciation. So even if you're engaging the senses, you know that the ultimate is that it's not there. And doing that to please Krishna. So if that's kept in mind, then one will always move in that direction. But if you think, no, I'll enjoy now, later we'll talk about renunciation, but it's not actually important, then one will never get there. Yes?
Basically, to renunciation, there are several approaches. One is more aggressive approach, like we really push for renunciation. And the other one is, like we heard now, is that, you know, he performed his duties, enjoyed according to the facilities he got, but then he kept that idea in mind that it's, you know, ultimate thing is renunciation.
Yes.
So which one is better?
The principle is, since whatever facility you have belongs to Krishna, and we belong to Krishna, so we're engaging in Krishna's service, we engage according to the position we're in. So if renunciation is our position, then that renunciation is engaged in Krishna's service. So it's what service of renunciation is there at this point. So it's not about renunciation. It's about engaging in Krishna's service, doing things to please Krishna. Right, so that means then you won't have, as such, your aggressive renunciation. It'll be according to the situation, and at the same time, you won't have where you're just enjoying and then later. It's that where renunciation applies now, you apply it. Like for sleeping, he can sleep on the floor. You don't need it means your quality of rest doesn't improve by how high your bed is off the floor. You know, or how fancy the legs. It means if the bed is gold leaf, then the sleep is so much better, right? No, it doesn't have anything to do with that. So areas where it doesn't matter, then it'll be the same. Like, he has so much money, but how much does he eat? He'll eat the same amount. He won't eat more. So it's always going on. So the idea that he will be functioning in this degree of wealth later in life may not be there. But the aspect of renunciation is always there while he's applying, engaging these things in Krishna's service. While someone else, then they don't have so much facility, but it's still engaged in Krishna's service. So whether you have more or less, it's engaged in Krishna's service. Just one prefers less and one is comfortable with more. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of where are you comfortable. You know, it's just like, okay, people may talk about a big house, but what does a big house mean?
A lot of maintenance.
So if they're comfortable with that maintenance,
yes,
then they should have a big house. But if they're not comfortable with that maintenance, they should not have a big house. You know? Like that. They should have according to what for them they are comfortable to maintain. That's the meaning of comfortable. Because greed means you're having beyond what you can use. So if you have a big house but it's not nicely maintained, then what's the point? People come over and they may go, wow, it's a big place, but when they notice it's unkept and untidy and not maintained, then they won't be impressed. You know? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that it's a matter of finding that balance where you're comfortable. So someone is comfortable in having things, someone is comfortable in not having things. So it's just a matter of where they're situated and what works for them. That's what you're trying to do. So it's the same thing for both, it's just which one you're using. Like we see Sudama, he used both. So technically, who can do one can do the other, because it's the same principle. So if I can engage nothing in Krishna service, I can engage something in Krishna service. And if I can gain something in Krishna service, I can gain nothing. Right? Because the point is that whatever your situation, you're engaging in Krishna service. But if the renunciate thinks this is mine that I'm renouncing and giving it up, though it could be used in Krishna service, that means when he gets facility, it'll be about them also. Is that?
Yeah, because I was thinking, actually, some people are good in renunciation and some people can actually engage whatever facilities they have in Krishna consciousness. But this combination of Yudhishthira Maharaj and Sudama, they go from extreme poverty to extreme wealth.
Yeah.
Those are rare.
But the point is that the point is to be able to do it, engage in Krishna's service. So if you can do both, because the point is if you can be renounced from the beginning and maintain them, then that's nice. So you see Yudhishthira and Sudama, they're like that.
Yes.
But when they get facility, they continue the same.
Right.
But you know, it shows that both come from there, you know, the connection of devotional service, all these things. But otherwise, then you have to start off with some renunciation. It means you had all your facilities in the house, but then when you become educated, it's supposed to be in some variety of a renounced environment. So that you become aware of the environment and how actually much is required. Right? In other words, okay, let us take the billionaire. Okay, technically, now let's just take it in an Indian context, you know, because otherwise outside of that, we don't want to necessarily get into what's going to happen. So, therefore, technically, he only is going to eat 4 chapatis at lunch, you know, and some dal, some sabjis, you know, that's it, you know, some fruit and milk like this, a little bit of some other snacks, maybe, you know, in the evening, 2 chapatis and something like this. That's all he's going to eat. So it's not going to change whether he's more or less. Mm-hmm. Now, the quality of, you know, what he's eating may improve. Mm-hmm. It may, the quality of the ghee or, you know, it's special atta and hand ground. You know, he may improve the quality of it. But the volume, but how much can you improve the quality? Only up to a certain point. That's it. Mm-hmm. So more than that's not. So that means what the billionaire is eating, then the lakhpati could also be eating. In fact, the villager could be eating it, because that's actually where all the good stuff comes from anyway. You know, because he's got, oh, wow, these chapatis are so nice. Yeah, we get it. You know, this wheat is from this, you know, village in Punjab and that. I send my man every year and he brings back and then we grind it here by hand. But that's what they do in that village every day. You know, so, yeah. So, that means is that could be done. Now he's going to sleep on his mattress, but the point is the mattress is only so thick. You know, so the point is that how much mattress is required, that's all he needs. So whether it's on a bed or it's on the floor, technically it doesn't really matter. Right? So that he's eating, he's sleeping, right? You know, like that. How much protection is required for himself is not going to really much increase. For his wealth, that will increase.
Yes. Yes.
You know, so in other words, the thing guy thinks, I'm so important, that's why I have all the guards and all that. No, your wealth is important, that's why all the guards. You're just a schmuck, you know? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because if the guy was, didn't have the money, no one would care. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole point is that it doesn't change. So technically how much he requires is not that much. He may be spending more than, let's say, the average person, you know, like that, but it's still, it's not that much more. So the difference technically in lifestyle of what he requires to maintain himself using very good quality stuff, you'll add a little bit more onto it. But once you've done that, you don't need more than that. He has one, you know, Philippe Patek watch. He doesn't actually need another one. You know, he may have some other watches to go out, you know, camping or some other work that, you know, he doesn't have to worry about. But it's still, once he's done, because he bought a good one, his grandson's going to get that watch. You know, so he doesn't need another one. These guys that buy, you know, 50 watches, they don't require it. You know what I'm saying? They can get by with one. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. How many shoes, how many like this? So he has to go to special occasions or this or that. So he may have a few things, but he doesn't require much. That's what I'm saying. So if you're thinking, so the quality of what you have is good, but you don't have to have more than what you can use. You don't have it just because it's interesting to have. You know, you don't have 20 cars just to have them. Like that. Like I know a big family, wealthy family, they have 15 cars. That's because they use 15 cars. You know, because everything in the family is going off, this one to school, this one to work, this one to that. They have it like that, and then they have to have cars for special occasions. You go to the big fancy wedding, you go in a fancy car. But if you want to go shopping, you don't take the fancy car, you take the little car, because you can get a parking space, right? The wedding, you know, you're going to the hotel, you don't need a parking space, they'll park it for you. You know, so it'll all be stuff that they'll use, it's not extra. You know what I'm saying? You know, so that's there. It's just like, so that's the point is the ideas that you have of, but you don't actually need. It's just they have that ability. They put in the work. They get that money. So the billionaire, the amount of work he's doing is the same amount of work that the millionaire is doing. Just the millionaire only gets millions. He gets billions. Right? Because if you say, okay, the millionaire works 12 hours a day, and the billionaire, he's got, you know, 100 times that. So, therefore, he's working, what do you call it? What do we say?
10 hours.
Yes, 1,200 hours a day. You know, like that. That's the secret that no one knows. It's actually their time frame is going differently and all that, and they don't want you to find out. Something like that. You didn't see the YouTube video, you know? The things that the billionaires don't want the common man to know. You know, how to get the 1,200-hour day. You know, no. So all it is by karma they get more. But the point is they can only use so much. So that's the mentality that we're talking about, is I have more. But personally, I can only use this much. And that personal may be a lot more than everybody else, but it's still not exaggerated. They're not going crazy. You know? Does that make sense? You buy the good suit, you'll have it for 10 years. You buy the good shoes, you also have them for 20 years. You know, you buy, like I said, you buy the watch, you'll have it for your lifetime. You know, so they'll buy those things, but then they'll use, that's all they need. They don't need more. And so that way they can maintain the renunciation in the opulence. You know? Does that make sense? You know, because it's being engaged in Krishna service. So how much needs to be engaged? That much is being used. They don't need more. And, does that make sense? That's what charity's for, is all the excess is for charity. You know, so like that. So then they'll...
So now, yeah, Sudama is quite neutral.
That's the position. You always want to be neutral. When it comes to material things, you're always neutral. It means you have no interest. But if you can be engaged in Krishna's service, you do. That's the meaning of neutral.
Yes, but he's mentioning that even getting opulence.
Yes, even in the opulence, because he says he enjoys with his wife. Okay, free from avarice, he enjoyed together with his wife the sense pleasures that have been bestowed behind him, bestowed upon him, always with the idea of eventually renouncing all sense gratification. So, therefore, him and his wife being grihasthas, then what arrangement she made, then he's enjoying that with her. Because it's just that service, and then so it's a relationship between husband and wife. Now it just happens to be more opulent than before. Mm-hmm. But that's the point. But on his own, you see, is then he became fixed in his vows and sleeping on the earth. Mm-hmm. So when it's his time, he's just absorbed in those things. So that neutrality allows you to do both. So that's the... It's just, Prabhu's question is, you know, is it renounced or is that you have so much facility? No, it's neutral.
Yes.
It means if you have facility, you use it. If you don't have facility, you don't. Does that make sense? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that whatever is there, it's used for Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it means that it's important that we are aspiring devotee try to develop that neutrality.
Yes, yes. Yes,
because this is our own effort.
Yes, we need to make the effort, but don't worry that there'll be plenty of opportunities for practice.
Yes,
you know. Let's say, okay, we have a standard that we only take this kind of car, and we may much of the time be able to use that car, but there'll always come that situation where we don't have that car.
You can rent.
Yeah, no, but then when you go there, they don't have. So the only thing is they have that funny little, you know, one that you swear you'll never use, but it's that or walk, right? You know. So it's just a matter of Krishna wants you to, you know, have something. You'll have that. And if he wants, you have. So that's why the neutral is there. You use it in Krishna's service. It's there, you use it. If it's not there, you use whatever's there. So it's a matter of service is the important thing. Then these others don't cause a problem. But as long as there's attachment to the particular form of service they're using, then there'll be always be some trouble. Krishna will always give a problem. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know, attached to the aspect of he always tells truth.
Yes.
So then Krishna, you know, then asks him to say Ashwatthama is dead. So it comes down to, is it about service to Krishna or is it about our attachments to these things? So that's the whole point. At some point, it's going to come up. It's just a matter of today or tomorrow. And tomorrow comes sooner than you think.
And it can be today and tomorrow.
That's also there. That can also happen. Yeah. Good. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The learned Brahmana thus concluded that whatever opulences he had received from the Lord should be used not for his extravagant sense gratification, but for the service of the Lord. Right? So they'll cook nice food to offer to the deities. They'll take the remnants, so it'll be nice, but they're not just cooking what is nice for them. Right? The Brahmana accepted his newly acquired opulence, but he did so in a spirit of renunciation, remaining unattached to sense gratification. So it doesn't mean you're not involved in sense gratification, but it's not you're not attached to. So therefore, since it's used in Krishna's service, it's called devotional service. It means sense gratification mechanically means engaging the senses in objects of the senses that are favorable for those particular senses. Right? That's sense gratification. But if that engagement is in relationship to the Lord's service, it's not called sense gratification. So here we're meaning mechanically he's applying it. But he's not attached to it, so it's not sense gratification. Right? Because so going beyond what's necessary or what's service, that's then extravagant. Right? Extravagant doesn't mean a lot. You need 4 chapatis, you eat 5, that's extravagant. Yes.
How far would you compare the same principle of
she's a princess. They're Prajapatis. means they can go around the universe anyway, so might as well take their house with them, right? So then you don't have to worry about it. So then you're unattached to a particular place. You have your house, but you know where that house is going to be, then you're unattached. You know, like somebody's attached, they want to be in southern France. You know, then you find a house. He's got the house, not attached to that. So it's just, that's what he, as a Prajapati, can do to offer to his wife, who is a princess. So he's just doing what means if he wasn't a Prajapati, he wouldn't do that. Right? In other words, he has yogic powers, so he uses them. But if he didn't have, he wouldn't. So it's just, for him, it's not a big deal. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's it. The Brahmin accepted the newly acquired opulence, but he did so in a spirit of renunciation, remaining unattached to sense gratification, and thus he lived very peacefully with his wife, enjoying all the facilities of opulence as the prasadam of the Lord. Right? Because he is the spirit of renunciation, therefore he can live peacefully with his wife. So that goes together. Now, whether you have more opulences or less opulences, that's not going to actually make or improve or reduce the quality of the family life. Right? The renunciation, the spirit of renunciation means the spirit of, that means that's the attitude, the form of it, then he has all the facilities that's there. But that's how it'll work. Because if, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. That's just how it works. Opulence stays because of that. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So this peaceful family life happens because of that. Because it becomes unpeaceful when we want something. Mm-hmm. Right? Because that's when it doesn't. Because then the problem is husband wants one thing, wife wants another thing, then it doesn't necessarily work out. You know, then the kids want another thing, the dog wants another thing, you know, then the hamster, that's a whole another thing. And then, yeah, you know, so it just goes on and on, right? And the hamster really wanted the solid gold, you know, that round, you know, thing to run in, you know, but he ended up just with the stainless steel one. So he's not impressed, yes. Similarly, if by the grace of the Lord we get such opulences as material wealth, fame, power, education, and beauty, it is our duty to consider that they are all gifts of the Lord and must be used for His service, not for our sense gratification. Oh, sense enjoyment. The learned Brahman remained in that position, and thus his love and affection for Lord Krishna increased day after day. Because for him, it was all facility for Krishna. And so, seeing all this opulence, then he remembered his friend gave, and so he's using Krishna's service, so naturally his devotion increased. He didn't get more materialistic. It did not deteriorate due to great opulence. His devotion didn't deteriorate. Material opulence can be the cause of degradation and also the cause of elevation. Because it's a matter of, it's a medium. So now if your goal is devotional service, it's a cause of elevation. And if your goal is sense enjoyment, it's a cause of degradation. So we have to understand everything is a medium. We'll take it, no, my goal is to get money, but the money is just a medium for being happy. So now it's, are you going to be happy connected to Krishna or happy not connected to Krishna? That's the point.
Alright, so when Mahaprabhu says Nadanam Najanam Masundarim, is that applicable both to Vihastas and Sannyasis?
Yes, it applies to both. Because you have the gross and the subtle aspect. Right? It's just had, because Dhanam means wealth. The point is even if the Sannyasi has less wealth, there's still something there.
Yeah.
You know, so are they attached to that? Like I remember once, I somehow or another come across this, it was bag made out of this cloth. It was kind of, it was thick, very textured cloth and had designs on it. And to me, it looked nice and all that. And so then, one day after I had gone to the market to bring something, I brought it back. And having given whatever it was to, you know, to Bhavananda Maharaj, then I was folding the bag up. But how he was folding the bag, Bhavananda could understand I was attached to the bag. Because I didn't just kind of fold it or just, you know, just do it in the proper way. You know, it was that care and attention, to probably noticing the quality of the bag in the process. So he pointed it out, you know, and then I think, oh yeah, okay. You know, it's still, of all bags that I've had, it's one of the bags I remember. No, I haven't had the bag for a while. You know, you could write a book, Bags I Have Known. So that's the thing our Prabhupada says, that pauper can be proud of his penny. You know, he's got a penny, the other beggar doesn't have a penny. So that's the whole thing, is it applies all the way across. Is that facility, it doesn't matter what it is, you can get attached to that. And then it's a problem. Right? And janam, then followers and all that. So with family persons, it'll be the family, the friends, you know, the community or whatever it is the thing that's there. You know, for the sannyasi, then, you know, whatever he moves with and who they have a relationship. If you're attached, that gives problem. You're not attached, then it's not a problem. Right? Sundarim, then you're going to have the aspect of, you know, pleasant language, pleasant interactions, the feminine nature. You know, these kind of things like that. If one's attached to it, then it'll be a problem. When not attached, there won't be a problem. It doesn't mean you can't work with them. It just means that you can't be attached.
The danger might be, while working with those objects, you started without attachment, but then you get attached.
Yeah, but that's why you always have... That's the point of association and always to see the stories like this, hearing it's about Krishna. Because if he can be unattached in such opulences with his wife, that means other grihastas could do that, and definitely sannyasis could do that. Right? Because they don't have a wife. They don't have that kind of opulence. Does that make sense? So the point is he just saw it all connection to Krishna. So even he has lots of money, all that's used for Krishna. So the grihasta, then, they use a certain proportion for Krishna and a certain part for their position. Now the sannyasi may use less, you know, for themselves, and then so much more. Like, you know, you say, some preachers, they have a lot of money, but all the money goes into the preaching project. But then personally, then they don't really have much more stuff. Does that make sense? You know, they might have to spend a bit more on tickets than everybody else, but the point is, it's not about them. And one may say, oh, they fly around and all this and that, and then, you know, well, I wish I could fly around, you know, like this. But the point is they're not regularly flying around. So once every 2 years they go for a flight, they can tolerate it. You have to do that every couple of days. It gets old, like, really fast. You know? It's more annoying than driving in a car. You know? Because a car, you can stop whenever you like, get out, you know, walk around. You can't do that in a plane, you know, because, the big, huge guy next to you that's, you know, is eating all the stuff with the onions in it and, you know, like that, it, you know, it's not as compatible. So, does that make sense? So, you know, in other words, driving in an okay car is actually more like having a business seat. You can put it back, you have leg room, you can just step out of it into the aisle. It's more like business. You know. Like that. So yeah. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that it can, but for both. It can have a problem for the grihastha, it can have a problem for the renunciate. The point is if you see it connected to Krishna, it's no problem. You don't see it connected to Krishna, it is a problem. But if one finds that one has an attachment for these things, then better to apply that in the grihastha. And then when one sees, at least now it appears that you don't have, then the renunciate position is good. Does that make sense? So that's why in the Vedic it gives you that gap in between. This vanaprastha is for trying that. And if you can come to that renounced position, then one can either take sannyas or not, whatever is favorable. Does that make sense? You know. Yeah.
Yeah. A few aspects in this. Men should be in the mood of renunciation, but the woman is like the opposite, should be. No, is it?
It's not that they should be. It's just, in other words, the man will function better if his mentality is in that of renunciation. Women will follow better if it's in the nature of relationship. Right? Because for a relationship means there has to be renunciation. The higher the quality of the relationship, the greater the renunciation. No?
But from the men's side.
No. I'm just saying. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. First, let's have that make sense. Yeah. It means you have someone who's acquaintance. How much renunciation will be there in connection to them? How much service, how much facilities you'll grant them and all that. Right? Not so much. But the more close they are, the more you offer. Right? You know, for the family member, the father is going out and working two jobs and doing the whole thing, and how much enjoyment is he getting out of that? He comes home late at night, you know, everyone's gone to bed, the food's cold, you know, and that, and he could heat it up, but it's too much of a problem. So therefore, you know, he just eats it and goes to bed. Right? Gets up before the kids get up, you know, goes to work and like that, right? Okay, so the point is that renunciation is there because of the depth of the relationship. So the point is for women, then the strength of the relationship is what's important. So of those, the strength of the relationship with Krishna is the main thing, right? And then you can fall back onto that when in the relationship with the devotees and family members. Like that. The men don't have that to fall back on. It has to be for Krishna and it has to be detached. Because if they're not detached, how will they function in a relationship? Women are always going to function in the context of a relationship. Even if the relationship's bad, but there will be a context. So in other words, if you interact, you have to be somehow or another situated in some variety of relationship.
Yes.
You know, whether it's good or bad, it doesn't matter. If they know you and they have to, it has to fit into that. Right? But for men, it doesn't. It's there, you just, it's renounced. You're doing it because of its duties. So then one can do all these duties very nicely and, you know, live very peacefully together in the family, but it has that aspect of the renunciation. So that's the whole point. That's why it says spiritual husband, religious wife. Because the women aren't going to function in that spiritual aspect. And if a man just functions in religion, then he'll just be a karmic. Understand? So now, for the wife, she can work in the Sanatan Dharma or within Dharma. But the point is, Sanatan Dharma is engaging Dharma in the Lord's service. Right, so even if she's not Krishna conscious, she's still engaging in the activities that are for Krishna. So whenever she does remember, then it can all be connected. That's why if she's not situated in Dharma, she's doing adharmic things, then when she does remember, then it's a whole change of lifestyle, this, that, it gets too extreme. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so you want to avoid that. And then the man's supposed to be spiritual in that he sees things, you know, by that the philosophy is connection to Krishna and everything like that, so that has that aspect of renunciation. And this way he controls the senses. So women control the senses by engaging it in Krishna's service and in Dharma. And then that's connected to Krishna. Men control the senses by that they're, you know, how you say, they're not engaged in things they shouldn't be engaged in. You know, I mean, it's just the mechanical aspect. And it's that's done for Krishna. So whatever they do. So basically, externally, it looks the same. That's why it's compatible. That's why men and women working together works fine. But the approach is quite different. You know what I'm saying? It's just like the man is doing something. It's about the thing mechanically working nicely. For the woman, it's as long as the result they want that they get, they're happy with it, even if the mechanics they do is not very good. You know, it's just like funny things they do in the kitchen around the house. It wouldn't be what the man would do, but it works. So as long as they got the result, they're cool. They're not worried about, you know, some very efficient and, you know, like that, you know, the least amount of effort and all that. They don't care because probably they're talking on the phone at the same time they're cooking and taking care of the baby and washing the clothes and vacuuming the rug. So as long as it worked, you know, the man will work out. He's got to vacuum the house. within a few times, he has exactly down where he starts, how much this fell, you know, how then where the chair goes, and then this and that. But the woman, you know, may have a pattern, but if she's talking on the phone, she'll just move things and then come back later, and it doesn't matter. As long as it got vacuumed. Right? And it's about experience. So then if halfway through vacuuming something on the phone made her upset, then not having it vacuumed and not having it tidy, that's part of the flavor of being upset. That reminds you you're upset because the vacuum cleaner's still there and the chair's not in the right place. Right? And now when the guy comes home, he should notice that. So what's wrong? You know, what can I do? But he just comes home and sits down on the couch and gets the remote out. Then she gets more angry because, don't you see I'm angry? You can't see the symptom? That makes sense.
Maharaj, you explained about spiritual and religion for the so this is good for Brahman Kshatriyas who go to Gurukul and they have the training. So what about the Vaishyas?
Vaishyas also go to Gurukul.
Huh?
Vaishyas also go to Gurukul.
So what about Sudras? How would they learn this?
They pick it up from their parents. But the Shudras pick it up for who they work for. Shudras are working for a Brahman Kshatriya Vaishya. And so if the Brahman Kshatriya Vaishya, the Dvija, has the good qualities that are learned from the Gurukul training, then the Shudra will pick that up because that's the environment they have to function in. And how close they get, then that's good. They're making any endeavor, then that's to their benefit. See, for a Shudra to do something good, you get the benefit of what's doing good, not so much what's going wrong.
But they don't really, because of the condition they come from, they go back to their habits.
No, but are we talking Varnashram here? Are we talking Malechas and Yavanas? So Varnashram, they're Shudras, and Shudra works for a Dvija. A Shudra always works for a Dvija.
How does he get up?
By that association with that Dvija.
But he doesn't take it up, my point is.
But he doesn't take it up, that's because he's a Shudra, so it doesn't matter anyway, because he's not going to take it up. The point is that he works for them. If he has that dedication and this and that, then next life he starts to move up. So it's a slow process. But as devotees, then because the lifestyle is followed by devotees, it's brahminical. So everyone, even Shudras, follow the brahminical lifestyle. But now when it comes to occupation, that's where you see the difference. But when it comes to devotional activities, you don't make a distinction between varnas for, you know, chanting japa or singing kirtan or things like that. Something? Yeah. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, though Krishna is affectionate to his devotees, he is famous among the people as being affectionate to the brahmanas. Krishna is the lord of all, but the brahmanas are the lords of him. He is the deva among the devas, but the brahmins are also deva of him. He is the lord of sacrifice and worship, but he worships the brahmanas. This is the meaning here. So Krishna is the master of everyone, but the brahmins are the master of Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? And so everybody respects them for that. They don't control everybody. That, you know, different people do those as different services. But the point is that's how it works. So the devotees, they control Krishna. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continues, thus seeing how the unconquerable Supreme Lord is nonetheless conquered by his own servants, the Lord's dear Brahmin friend felt the remaining knots of material attachment within his heart being cut by the force of his constant meditation on the Lord. So he's meditating on the Lord in that surid aspect here. And you see it just cuts the knots because he's appreciating how the Lord is controlled by his devotees, the love of his devotees. He controls everything, but he's controlled by the love of his devotees. And that itself then brought him to the platform of devotion, you know, they say, you know, freed from all material entanglement. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.